Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, those of you who are familiar with Ware's Valley Ranch know that in addition to having homes for children on the property, we have a wonderful school, K through 12. It's called St. Andrew's School, and it's accredited by the Association of Christian Schools International. And we are so thankful that God allows us through our school to provide these young people with Christian education. Now, that would not be possible if I had to do all the teaching. I get to teach Bible, but there are a whole lot of other subjects that the children need to learn. And let's say that even if I had the time, I wouldn't have the expertise to teach a lot of what they need to know. So God has brought into our midst various people across the years with all kinds of gifts and backgrounds and things they're excited about, literature, foreign language, science, all kinds of things that they really are excited to teach to our kids. And most of them do it right here on our campus. But God has blessed us in recent years with the gifting of one of our long-term donors. Adele Weeks and her husband have been supporting the ranch since the 1990s, I believe. Is that right, Adele?
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
We learned about you when we lived here the first time between 88 and 94, and you spoke at Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church. So that's where we first heard about you and first started supporting you.
Well, and I remember then you moved north and continued to support. A lot of people, when they move away, kind of lose interest. But you continued to pray for us. You continued to give financially. And in recent years, you've been able to give in another way that is much more intimately involved in the lives of some of our students.
That's correct. I have been an online chemistry teacher for the past 10 years, and this year I've added physics to that mix. And through the magic of online schooling, I've been able to teach three of your Ware's Valley students chemistry this year, and one of them physics, and I have enjoyed it immensely.
Well, they have as well, and that is a tribute to your gifting and your enthusiasm for the subject matter. I know that you worked as a medical technologist in clinical chemistry laboratories at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, and University Hospitals of Cleveland, Ohio. And you have a bachelor's in biology from Case Western Reserve University, and you're a registered medical technologist. This is somebody who is very well educated, very well trained, and has had practical, real-world experience with the subject, and she's bringing that expertise to bear online. Now, I don't want to turn this into a commercial for your website, but I think it's only fair that we tell people they can find you at Discovering Design with Chemistry.
Yes, discoveringdesignwithchemistry.wordpress.com.
Okay.
That's my chemistry website. Well, my chemistry one is named after the textbook that I use. I use the new chemistry book that Dr. Weil wrote. Dr. Weil used to run Apologia Chemistry, and he's written a whole host of science textbooks from K through 12. He is a nuclear chemist, a PhD nuclear chemist, and a young earth creationist, and he has a gift for writing science textbooks in a conversational manner that makes the very difficult concepts easier to grasp and easier to understand. So my chemistry website is named after his new chemistry book, Discovering Design with Chemistry, www.wordpress.com.
Excellent. Well, I would encourage you who are listening, if you have a young person who needs to learn chemistry or even physics, you ought to go to that website and check it out. And if you'll come to our website, which is wvr.org, we'd be glad to provide a link there as well. Now, Adele, you not only have had this wonderful experience at NIH and University Hospitals of Cleveland, but you actually had some homeschool experience yourself. You've got two grown sons, and as I understand it, you homeschooled them. Is that right?
That's correct. We actually started homeschooling them when we moved up to Wisconsin because the public schools there were pretty unsafe and had a lot of things that we didn't, you know, it was kind of like they got a direct pipeline from Madison for all of the left-wing ideas and we, you know, social types of ideas, and we didn't want our kids to be growing up under that tutelage. And when we had lived in Tennessee previous, I had been asked to teach science to homeschoolers in Oak Ridge, and I had done that. And looking back, I see that God was preparing me to be able to do this with my own children.
Amen.
And even though, as you say, I have a bachelor's degree in science and I'm an intelligent person and my husband is a scientist, he's a an environmental toxicologist, we just are brainwashed to think that we have to leave education to the experts and that we can't do it. But that's not true at all. And our sons got a much better education being homeschooled than they could have gotten in the public school. For instance, when it came time to teach biology, I called the local high school and I said, now, how many animals or things do you dissect in your biology classes? And they said, well, Mrs. Weeks, there are issues with animal rights now, so we don't do that. And I thought, well, my kids, I don't think that worms and, you know, crickets have rights, and my kids are going to do this. And because homeschooling was burgeoning, little cottage industries were springing up to supply what they needed. And so there was a company called Home Science Training Tools or something like that, that we could go to and buy preserved worms for $1, crickets for 50 cents. And then we got an entomologist from Johnson to come and bring giant freshly killed Madagascar cockroaches for the kids to dissect, and he guided them through it.
How cool.
And he showed emotion that only an entomologist can show. And one of the girls in the homeschooling group's neighbor was a teacher at University of Wisconsin, and she said, well, come down to my lab in the evening and we'll give the class there. So I remember this entomologist, you know, guiding the kids through the dissection saying, just look at that green gland. Isn't that beautiful? And in many other areas, we found that we were able to give our children much more than they could have gotten in the public schools. And they emerged not only being national merit finalists, but they went on. One went into the Marines. One went into the Air Force. They're now out of they were officers. They're now out of that, and they're doing phenomenally well.
Wonderful.
One in Cyber Command. He's 29, and he's the director of development, and they write software. He writes software that protects their computer networks from being hacked. The other son is in Washington, D.C., working for a startup, and his undergraduate degree from Grove City was in business economics and finance. And their company keeps deployed servicemen in contact with their families. So
wonderful.
If you want to send a letter to a deployed person, you can upload it. They'll print it out, put it in an envelope, put in another self-addressed envelope to you and another piece of paper for your servicemen to answer them and send it off for a couple of bucks.
That's great.
And he's in on the ground floor. There's only 8 people in that company, but they've got contracts with every branch of the service, and they're brainstorming other ideas that they can use. And so our kids being homeschooled came out of it very patriotic, very responsible, very educated, and they all our kids married Christians, and we have grandchildren now, and our sons are you know, being spiritual leaders as well as financial and emotional, you know, leaders of their families. So
that's
we
wonderful.
Couldn't be happier with the way they turned out.
That's great. So 3 grown children and 7 exceptional grandchildren. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. We also have a daughter who is older than the boys, and she went through school. We didn't, when we left Oak Ridge the first time, she was in 10th grade. And so we didn't really get into homeschooling until we moved up to Wisconsin. She also was a National Merit finalist, and she has a PhD in physics from Cambridge University in England, and she is a postdoc in plasma physics.
Wow.
Very part-time now because she has 3 little girls. Very, very part-time.
Well, bless her. So, well, obviously, you're not from the shallow end of the gene pool. the Lord blessed you and your husband and your children with wonderful intelligence, but the fact of the matter is, this approach to education, this individualized tutorial approach to education, is really much more effective whether you are a genius or whether you are in the average range of intelligence or whether you are in the low end. And we have seen here at Wares Valley Ranch how children often arrive way behind in one or more subjects, and yet not needing to be placed in a lower grade per se, but simply to be taught at the stage where they're ready to learn. And so we're able to take a child who might be 12 years old and at the 7th grade level in English and history, but the 4th grade level in math, and maybe the 5th or 6th grade in science, and we're able to work with them right where they are and help them advance at their own speed. Now, that has made a world of difference for a lot of our students, and that's something we learned by doing homeschooling. I'm not saying that the public schools need to be nuked. I am saying that Christians have got to wake up and realize parents are responsible for their own children's education. Now, if you send your child to the public school, you're responsible for what's happening in the public school where your child is. If you send your child to a Christian school, you can't just hand responsibility over to them and say, okay, I put them in a Christian school, so now it's that school's responsibility. Whether you take this approach or this approach or this approach or a combination with different children doing different things, what is imperative is that you not feel you can abdicate that responsibility to other people and then walk away. And we have had so many kids who had known nothing but failure have that turned around when they're given assignments that are appropriate for them. And they begin to realize, hey, I can do this. I'm capable of learning. I remember 2 pivotal experiences. One was when I was in 6th grade, and there was a boy named Ronald who would put his name, Ronald, at the top of his paper and then not fill out any of the answers. I mean, just leave it totally blank. And I remember talking to him and saying, Ronald, if you would just try even a 30, as low a score as that is, would be better than having a 0. But you see, Ronald was not willing to try because he'd rather fail without trying than to try and still fail. And he was humiliated by his inability to do well, so he just didn't try at all. I filed that away. It emotionally was hard for me to see Ronald in that situation, but I kind of filed that away. I had never heard of learning disabilities or anything like that when I was 11 years old. But then years later, I was teaching a bunch of 8th graders down in Mississippi, and there was a girl in the class who would come and literally turn sideways in her desk and look out the window. She would not look at me. She would not face the board. And I thought, what is going on? And as I began to look into her situation a little bit, I found she was doing this in all her classes, and she absolutely would not engage. I decided I'm going to come up with a test that she can't fail. And I managed to get her to try. And once she had success in my class, she began to try in her other classes, and all the teachers were talking about it. What she needed was hope. And that's what she was lacking when she started that school year. I want you to know she ended up becoming a good student because she finally felt like she could try and it would be worth it.
Yeah. Well, I have seen just within the three students that are in my chemistry class at Ware's Valley, over the year, I've seen them try and race each other to get the right answer and get very excited and break out in giggling when they do get the right answer. And that's my aim. I want to engage the students. And I do this in a couple of ways. For one, most online science classes that you would take would be 90 minutes, one 90-minute session a week. Mm-hmm. But I give two. And one of them, I teach the concepts. And the second one is a problem-solving session where we do problems to reinforce and apply the concepts that I've taught. I know this science, and I'm committed to helping them understand it, too. And so in going through the problems, I can see where they're having problems. I can, you know, help them understand a concept. And then they leave problem-solving class having a deeper understanding of the material. So that's one way in which my classes, I think, are more helpful than some that are available on the Internet.
Yes.
Another way is I want to use the same philosophy that I used in teaching my own sons. I want to be available and accessible for them. So I limit the number of students I take. I just take one class in chemistry and one in physics. And then if my students need me, I have my phone set that if they send me an email, I get a beep and I read it right away and I answer them right away. So they, and then when I correct their tests and lab reports, I do that. I send those back very quickly as well. So they get pretty much instant feedback. And I know from, you know, the parents, they appreciate that a lot.
Absolutely.
So I know what you mean by getting the little girl who was looking out the window's attention and getting her engaged. And that's what I want to do, too.
That's great. Well, and I'm telling you, it really does make a difference. When young people begin to believe that they can learn and that effort will be rewarded, it makes a difference. It motivates them. I remember my wife was testing one of our students when he first arrived a number of years ago, and partway through the testing, she just exclaimed in classic Susan fashion, she just said, "Jordan, you're smart." And the reason she was saying that is because having known Jordan for a while before he came to our school, no one had suspected that of him. There was not a lot of evidence. And as Jordan now tells that story, he says, "I'm not sure who was more surprised, Mrs. Wood or me." But the fact is, testing showed that he was capable of doing far more than he was doing, but he was not engaged. And when he became engaged by giving him appropriate assignments that fit where he was and what his abilities were, he didn't graduate from our program until he was 20 years of age. But after he graduated at age 20, he went on to college and graduated from college with highest honors and then went to graduate school and got a master's degree with highest honors. And
excellent.
A while back, I heard he was working on his doctorate. This is a guy who you wouldn't have thought would go to college. He had no aspiration of going to college. When he came to us, he thought that was out of reach. But after he discovered that he was capable, he was willing to try. And we didn't say, "Well, you got to be finished by the time you're 18. We said, "We will stick with you until you get this." And he stuck with us until he got it. He worked through it, and he went on to become a lifelong learner. And we are so grateful. Now he's a pastor in Colorado with a wife and kids and a tremendous testimony for Christ.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you can't overestimate the importance of having someone pour themselves into your life.
Yes.
And in my case, my dad was a chemical engineer. He used to call himself a comical engineer, and he used to make everything from hair conditioner to fireworks. All the neighborhood kids would come over to see Mr. Bauman blow empty soup cans sky high on the 4th of July, and he showed us that chemistry was fun.
Yes.
And I want to infuse my students with that same belief, and I'm successful. But even more than it being fun, it's something that you use every day, you know, whether you realize it or not.
Yes.
When you breathe in and out, you're using the gas laws. When
yes.
you clean something, you're using acid-base chemistry. When you put a battery into a cell phone or an MP3 player, you're using oxidation-reduction chemistry. So since it's so much a part of your life, you should know about it. But the most important reason to study chemistry is, and I point this out every opportunity as I'm teaching my class, it helps you understand God's creation
Amen.
In a detailed and meaningful way.
Amen.
You know, you see how he designed things. Do I have time to give you two
sure.
short examples?
Sure.
Okay, one is our body has a blood buffer made of bicarbonate. The pH of your blood has to be regulated within a very narrow range, 7.2 to 7.4, to be compatible with life. And I know that from doing blood gases as a medical technologist.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are, say, an untreated diabetic and you start producing a lot of acid, or if you just take in a lot of acid, your body can take that and in a couple of chemical steps, it can turn that into water and carbon dioxide, and you either exhale it or you excrete it through your kidneys. So wasn't it phenomenal of God to develop these systems that we could detoxify our body by and to not only have one, like the kidneys, but
right.
to have a backup one so mm-hmm. that, let's say, oh, to have the respiratory system to get rid of the CO2.
Yes.
Suppose you're unconscious and you're not breathing much, you can't get rid of that CO2. Well, you can get rid of the water through your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one way in which, our bodies and the way they work just scream design.
Amen.
Another way is, and this was in the book that Dr. Weil wrote that I teach my kids, we not only get heat and light from the sun, but we get a whole range of wavelengths of electromagnetic radiation. And any of those that are higher energy, shorter wavelengths than visible, can harm human or animal tissue. And
mm-hmm.
that would include ultraviolet rays, we've all gotten sunburn, X-rays,
sure.
and gamma rays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made our atmosphere so that it's 78% nitrogen. And nitrogen is two nitrogen atoms combined with a triple bond. Well, gamma rays hit the nitrogen, they split it apart, but it uses up the ray every time they do.
That's great.
And then those two individual nitrogen atoms, because they're reactive, go right back together. So the nitrogen in our air filters out the gamma rays that would otherwise give us cancer.
Mm.
Oxygen that we breathe is O2, and those two atoms are joined with a double bond. The X radiation isn't strong enough to break a triple bond, but it can break a double bond. So it does the same thing. It's absorbed by molecules of oxygen, which then split apart and become two atoms.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they're, and that destroys that X-ray. And then because they're reactive, they come back together and make oxygen again.
Right.
And ultraviolet rays are filtered out the same way with ozone, which is O3, but two of those ozones are joined with a single bond. And the energy from the ultraviolet ray breaks the single bond. But as if that isn't good enough to have this three-tiered atmospheric radiation filter, we know that if we breathe ozone, it's a poison. So where did God put it? He put it up, like, I don't know, 15, 20 miles up in the air. So we don't breathe it, but it can still filter out the ultraviolet light.
Amen.
So these are ways that you can see by learning chemistry how God has designed not only us, but our environment to be compatible with the life that he wanted us to live.
Amen. Folks, Adele's website is www.discoveringdesignwithchemistry.wordpress.com. I hope that you'll check it out, and I hope that you'll come check out our website, wvr.org. We'd love to hear from you. We are greatly encouraged when you write or call and let us know that you're praying. And, like Adele, when you drop something in the mail and say, I want to help pay the bills there at the ranch. So, Adele, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you not only for your generosity and prayers across the years, but now for being an outstanding teacher who's helping our students learn about God's creation. God bless you.
Thank you. You are very welcome.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.